This morning will be in chapter 10 of Hebrews. I'll begin by reading it. Because the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there is remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats that should take away sin. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. Burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure." Then said I, "Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God." Above, when he said, "Sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law." Then said I, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God, to take away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wherefore, of the Holy Ghost also it is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw not near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approach. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment suppose ye that shall be to be thought worthy, who has trodden down under foot the Son of God, and has wherewith he was sanctified. How'd I miss that? I'm looking at it wrong. Who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has done respite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that has said, "Vengeance belongeth to me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that will come shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But you are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. There's a lot of stuff here that's it's hard to read because I know it's wrong. We'll unscramble it here. Let's go back to the first verse again. Because the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image or the image itself of those things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect or complete. Right there tells you that what the church world is doing can never make you complete. Because everything they do comes from the Old Testament. Every pattern, everything they do, they use the Old Testament pattern of Moses in the tabernacle. They use the Ten Commandments. They're using everything from there. Rather than the revelation of the New Covenant, they're not putting that in effect. They're trying to blend the two and make a hybrid. And he said clearly that nothing but pure spirit enters into the Holy of Holies, correct? They're using the tradition of men to water down the truth of God. So it's never going to happen the way they're doing it. It's only going to happen the way God wants it. And that's not with a mixture, okay? Verse 2, for then would they not have ceased to be offered. He said, if that these things could have done it, they would only have to do it one time and they would never have to do it again, would they?
See? Each time they did it, it brought it back to their own.
And all they're doing is, like it says here, in these offerings, there's a remembrance that I'm still sinful, and this just covers me for a short period of time, and I got to do it again. And I got to keep doing it as long as I'm alive. I got to keep doing these things. If I don't,
each time you go to church every Sunday,
you got to go back next Sunday, or you're going to be going to hell again. See, I mean, that's the way that they've portrayed it. So whether they'll say, "Oh no, we don't do that," but they do that. They can say they don't do it, but that's what they're doing. They're manipulating and controlling people, threatening, intimidating, all the words, all the adjectives you want to put around it. They're doing it, and they'll say, "Oh no, we don't do that here." I don't think I've ever heard anybody that goes to a church and we start talking about things and they'll say, "Oh, but our church don't do that." I said, "Where's your church, on the moon?" Because I've never seen one anywhere that doesn't do that in some form. You know, some control, some manipulation. You know.
Some say they don't do that, and then they turn around and say, "Oh, you would believe, Dave, we went down to a picnic down here, you would believe how many people got saved."
Yeah. That means, so Jesus failed, right? He died to save the whole world, but they're out saving people because he missed them. I mean, it's insane.
They weren't here yet.
Huh?
They weren't here yet.
That's what it was. But see, there's no new people being created because we were all in him from the very beginning. But didn't it say something about Abraham while he was yet in the loins of his father? It was already taken care of. So we were in the loins of our father. We were taken care of. Excuse me. The rest of 2, it says, because the worshippers that once purged or cleansed should have had no more conscience of sin. So if it's taken care of, just like today, they say, "Oh, get saved, get baptized, and you're covered for life." Well, then how come they're still preaching about sin to you? It says you should have no more consciences of sin. Because you know that he did something once forever. Correct? If he took care of it, then what is the consciousness of sin for? If you're sin conscious, you know what you're going to do?
Sin.
You're going to sin. No, you'll just live your life. If I make a mistake, I made a mistake, I'll correct it and go on. It's pure and simple. That's why the confusion is in the body of Christ today, because everybody is being taught sin consciousness rather than Christ consciousness. If we're centered upon Christ, it says keep your eyes upon the Christ, the author and the finisher of your faith. If you go that way, where's the sin come in at?
There won't be any.
There isn't any. And technically, there's not a sin to be had today anyway. The law was fulfilled. There is no law except loving people. So this other thing that they tell you're sin is just doing things that harm yourself.
And they show you how to create it.
Teach you how to be a sinner. Just watch us. I'm going to leave that alone. be there all day. Verse 3, but in their sacrifices, in their sacrifices, there is a remembrance that may again made of sin every year. And literally the word every year is not correct. It should be throughout the year. All year long, you keep thinking, I got to do this again because I'm not covered if I don't get this done by such and such a date. There's a sacrifice date coming up, and if I don't do it, I'm in trouble. I'm not covered.
If I don't have my sacrifice, I'll steal from my brother.
There you go. I'll cheat somebody out of a sacrifice and turn it in. That'll be okay. God doesn't know if it's got a blemish or not, right? He ain't here.
Continually sacrifice.
Yeah. Well, that's what they're doing continually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And guilt. Mm-hmm. Verse 4. Because it is not possible, or literally it is impossible, that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. It's impossible.
You shouldn't have to kill anything that makes it right.
No, shouldn't have to. Verse 5. Wherefore, when he came into the world, the word there is cosmos, the orderly arrangement that man set up, he said, sacrifice and all and the offering of you would not, or you did not desire, okay? The offering of the sacrifice you did not desire. But a body thou hast prepared me. Now this word body is a sound whole body. It's the word soma, okay? It's not carrion, which is a dead body, but soma, which is a live body, a sound whole body. Now, let me take you to a verse in Matthew 8. Let me show you something. And this just kicked in this week. Matthew 8 and 20. This verse just came to life this week as I was studying this. Are you there? Matthew 8, 20. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes and the birds have their nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. Okay? And another one is Luke 9:58. One more page. And Jesus said again, and Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. Where does a head lay?
On your body.
On your body. And what did he say right here in Hebrews? He said, thou hast prepared me a what?
Body.
A body. That's what this is all about. He said, I want a body. And didn't it say Jesus was the head and we are the body? Okay. He has prepared a body. This body isn't the entirety of humanity, but it's a body to complete the form. This body, notice the word when he said, a body thou hast what?
Prepared.
What's the last two letters of that word?
Past tense.
Right. So that's saying this body's already prepared. It just hasn't come into being yet, into vision. Right? So this body was chosen before the foundation of the world. This is something that I have people struggle with. They can't understand first fruit. This body has to be prepared first. This one has to be done first. Then the rest can come in. You can't gather everything at one time, can you? People have struggled with that, but that's just the way it is. But this, beg pardon?
Everybody wants to think they're first.
Everybody wants to think they're first, and it's not the way it is. You're first if God chose you for first. It's not earning it. It's not doing anything. It's just being who God's created you to be. If he created you to be the fingernail, then you be the fingernail of the body, you know. If you're the hair on the back of the hand or the butt, whatever, I don't care. Whatever part of that body you are, that's what you are, and you can't change that. Okay? But this is where that come in, that body. I saw that. That was amazing. I never saw it before till this week, that there's the body for that a place to lay his head.
So you know what 99% of the preachers tell you?
Jesus is poor and didn't have a place to sleep.
Well, sure, I've heard that one. I've heard that one.
I mean, how silly.
Stupid. Because this is spiritual. This is not a physical thing.
Yeah.
I mean, his father was well-to-do.
That's what I was going to say. In logic terms, they came from the house of David.
They had plenty.
They could get wherever they wanted.
No. He wasn't destitute. He wore royalty, clothes of royalty, one thread through his entire garment. That thing was worth a fortune. That's why they gambled for it, not because it belonged to him, but it was something that was very, very valuable. It's clothing that kings wore. Of course, him being king, you know,
well,
they didn't understand that.
If they look at it with that natural thing, then mm-hmm. it's like, well, that's in the past, it has nothing to do with today.
That's right.
But it's not that.
It's relevant now.
Yeah, it's a spiritual
yeah. There's a context of the Greek, a tense of the Greek that's called the present progressive aorist tense, I believe it is, if I'm not mistaken. And it means to be, whenever you read it, that's when it is. No matter if it's 1,000 years ago or 1,000 years in the future, whenever you read it, that's when it's talking about, right now.
Would it be applicable now?
Absolutely, that's what it is. Whenever you read it, it's applicable now.
Uh-huh.
That's the tense of what I was told it was.
Huh?
Absolutely.
That's why we were saying earlier about living in the now.
Yes. It's always in the now. You can't live anything except now. You can't live yesterday and you can't live tomorrow. You can only live now. There's no, and even tomorrow is now. You know, you can't go backwards.
When you get there, it's
now. Yeah. Midnight tonight, it's not tomorrow, it's today. It's always today. Okay, verse 6. In burnt offerings and also in burnt offerings also for sin thou hast no pleasure. What it should say. In burnt offerings, not and, but also, and cross out the word sacrifices. It wasn't even there. They added it in. In burnt offerings also for sin you have had no pleasure. So all the things they were doing, he said he never got anything out of it. They cried and they wanted those things. They wanted a king. They wanted a natural king. They wanted the natural laws. Right?
And when they got them, they didn't like them.
He told them they wouldn't like it, but they said we wanted them anyway. So he said, okay, here you go. Enjoy. Yeah, they didn't. Okay, verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it's written of me. Of course, that's right out of the Psalm 40 and Psalm 51. Okay? But it says, I come to do thy will, O God. That's pretty, I mean, that's deeper than what you think. He said, I come for one purpose, to do thy will. Not my will, but thy will be done. Isn't that what he said in the garden? And then in verse 8 it says, above... when he said sacrifice and offering for sacrifices and burnt offerings concerning sin you desired not. He didn't desire them. He didn't want all his sacrifices. He would much rather have them be obedient to him. And didn't he say sacrifice offerings I did not, but he wants your obedience.
Allows us to do all that other stuff to turn ourselves back to him.
Sure it is. Mistakes are a gift of God. And now I'm in what?
You were in 7.
The rest of 8. Okay, I didn't finish that in verse 8 there. It said, thou didn't desire it, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law, or through the law, or because of the law. Whenever I offer things because I feel an obligation to have to do it, what's that?
Religion.
It's religion. See? It's under the law. And anything under the law, you're living cursed. Because no man can live under the law, can he? No one can fulfill every detail of that law. So you're cursed.
Just
go ahead.
For us that, you know, that's in the workforce and all that, I know you do lots of times too, but just start listening to people. Mondays and Tuesdays, by Wednesday they don't say it, but just think how many people say, when I went to church,
mm-hmm.
they constantly go do that when I was at church.
Yeah, they let you know, I'm okay, what about you?
But by Tuesday or Wednesday, that faith away.
Yeah, they didn't get enough of it. Must not have been a strong message on Sunday.
What I'm saying is they got to make that in their conversation.
Kind of like the doctors, they give you just enough sedative to keep you asleep until they get done working on you, and then you start waking up, give them some more, see? So they give you enough to get you to Wednesday, so you'll have to come back, get some of that Novocaine.
I see that as a sacrificial thing.
Well, sure it is. And they're letting everybody know they sacrifice too.
Mark said religion is the opiate of the masses.
Yeah. Who?
Karl Marx.
Now, there was, yeah, there was another one too that said it. One of the philosophers out of the past too. But it's the truth. Because when they go into the religion, their brain, you seen that little thing I had last week? You don't need that anymore. You know, you're here. You know, open the skull, take the brain out. Yeah, I've said for years, that's why we don't have a trash can in the foyer, because I want you to keep your brain in and think when you come in here. You know, most people don't need one when they go to church.
We changed that. It's back there now. They're by the chairs.
No. It's not by the door. This is in the big room here now. Okay. Verse 9. It should say, when he said, then said, he said, at that time he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He takes away or abolishes the first or the prototype in order that he, cross out the word may there, in order that he establish the second. He said, when I come to do your will, he is abolishing the second one. He's taking away the first one, the prototype, so now you can bring the reality in effect, right? Do you understand that? Right. But see, he had to first do away with the first one to make room for the second one. There's a law of physics that says two things can't occupy the same space at the same time. So one had to be removed so he could bring in the new covenant. Right?
Kind of like we were talking about the old Holy of Holies, how it changed.
Right. Something went in, was changed. Okay, verse 10. By which will or by whose desire we are sanctified. That's a key word right there. And King James says, and by the which will we are sanctified. But that's not what it really says. It's by whose desire we are sanctified. Who desired to sanctify us?
The Lord God.
There you go. And we're sanctified through Christ, not through our desire, but through His desire. That doesn't make it like you've got a choice to get saved, does it?
No.
We're sanctified through the offering of the body, and that's the word soma again, the sound whole body of Jesus Christ, once for all. Now, I mean, how in the world, unless religion has got into your mind, you can't understand that. He died once for ALL. It didn't say all who ask or all who follow him or all who go to church. He said once for all, ALL, no strings attached. You didn't ask for it, did you? He did it. But they're blinded. They can't see. Verse 11. And every priest stands daily ministering and offering repeatedly, not oftentimes, but repeatedly, the same sacrifice.
And they're still doing it.
Well, if I give a sacrifice today and it didn't work, what's the sense of doing it next week? And the week after, and the week after, and the week after.
Because you've been hired to do it.
There you go, it's a job. Which can never take away sin. Very clear. Those sacrifices that come out of our own thinking can never, you know, there's people that want to do things. I've had people want to come, huh?
Do-doers?
Do-doers, yep. They want to come say, can I do this or can I do that? Well, that's my ministry. I'm that's my kind of service, you know. Well, how about sitting down just listening? How about taking Martha out of the way and let's just bring Mary in and set her down? Let her sit there and listen to the truth. Okay? And they don't want to. I don't want that. I just want to be able to give you something or do something so God will know I've been here. Well, you ought to go out and burn your money. You'd get more out of it. You get some heat out of it anyway, you know. You can't buy it. Okay, verse 12. But this man, after he had offered. Now, there's a word omitted here, and it's important. So put it in there in your book. But this man, after he had offered what?
One.
Before that word, they omitted one. Only one. Only one sacrifice. That makes it very clear, doesn't it? They left out that word only that should be there. Only one sacrifice for sins forever. Set down in, not on, but in the right hand or the full power and authority of God. Okay? From henceforth, expecting or waiting till his adversary be made or be placed under his feet. That's what it should say. So, what's he really saying? Until your lifestyle overcomes this thing up here. Because the adversary, the devil, walks around seeking whom he may desire, has got people so screwed up thinking there's a devil running around with a pitchfork and a pointy tail and horns and a red flannel suit, getting ready to poke you if you do something wrong. See, I mean, but seriously, there's people that really believe that there's an actual devil roaming around. Well, the only one that's omnipotent is God.
Yes.
So, the devil can't be messing with me and messing with you at the same time. He's not omnipotent.
No.
See, they got it all wrong, but they don't even realize that because that's what the church teaches. There's a devil out there going to get you.
Also, see what they
really
want
to think
see.
About it, thinking that devil
credit
the same power
as God.
Because if they really believe God was perfect and omnipotent, nothing could take anything away from God.
That's right, but see, they don't see. They see the devil is so powerful, he's going to beat up on God. I've had him just get in my face, say, "Who do you think you are, tormenting the devil?"
Yeah.
Well, hey, I have fun doing it.
I was telling someone not too long ago, tell them, "Who went and noticed this devil thing out here? It's your carnal mind." And then they went back two or three times, said, "So you're telling me there's no." Not as you said.
No. And that's the key. People say, "You don't believe in this, you don't believe in that." I said, "No, I don't believe in what you believe. I believe that what the book says and teaches, what the Spirit of God." And see, here's the thing. I had a discussion with somebody not too long ago about the Scriptures. And there's a lot of people come to a place in their life when they say, "We don't need the Scriptures anymore." Okay? I don't think I'll ever be to the point where I'll say I'll throw these away. Just don't believe it. And here's why. I don't believe, at one time the Scriptures were very, very important to me because I understood nothing. And they helped me there, you know, like he said in Galatians 4, I think it is, we're all under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. When I came to a place where I understand enough, now I don't have to be in this book every day, daylight till dark, studying the languages and trying to dig stuff out. I don't have to do that now because now I listen to the voice of my Father. And when he says something, this book will never contradict what he says to me if it's God speaking to me. So when my sheep hear my voice, they'll know that it's real because it lines up with this book. Not the English translations, but what it really said. See, so this is just like I've said for years, this is a plumb bob, this is a square, it's a level to build my house. It's keeping me in check. Because if I run off, and if everybody runs off and throws the book away, I guarantee you, you're going to get out in left field somewhere. Your house is going to be out of the kilter.
As long as they don't tell you in King James language, then you're
Well, it's also now your battery charger, because you don't have to always use it, but every now and then you have to go back. And
get a charge.
Get a charge off.
Yep.
Well, it's like when you got a group of people and you got them lined up in a row, and you tell the first one.
It'll be changed by the first person you tell it.
By the last person there.
You won't recognize it.
It will be nothing even...
Right.
Very
that's what this is. This is something to keep us in check, to know that we're on the same course. But once you know his voice by relationship, like we were talking last week, Steve, by relationship you know this is the nature of my Father, and he wouldn't do anything else. He won't violate his nature. If he did, he wouldn't be God. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. So guess what? I don't have to worry about that. When I know his nature, then when something speaks to me, I can tell you instantly if it's God telling me or somebody else. Me.
It'll be verified right in his word.
It'll be verified in his word. And if I know his word, guess what? I can instantly tell you. I can instantly tell you by relationship with God, but my fellowship with God, I have learned his nature and character, and I know I hear things in my head and I say, kick that one out. That one's not real. Or this one is real, very quickly. I don't have to go into...
And it's pretty obvious, too.
Yes. You don't have to go into... You don't have to go out and go into 3 or 4 days of fasting and prayer to try to figure out if God told you the truth. God don't lie. The lie comes from within me, or within you, the natural man. God don't lie, and He says what He means. End of story. Let it go.
Talking about it, I had one thought about the devil there. I heard this on the radio. The devil, they got this preacher to admit that the devil's not omnipresent.
Mm-hmm.
But there was maybe billions of fallen angels.
Demons.
And that's what your problem, that's what humanity's problem is.
Well, humanity's problem is this. They don't realize that the devil... the problem is preachers like that.
That's called twisting words to,
sure,
to make your point.
But see, that guy don't even know what a devil is or demons. Right. If the carnal mind is the devil, then his angels or his messengers is nothing more than the thoughts going through that carnal mind.
Yeah.
And see, he said something with some truth in it without any understanding. The problem is those messengers.
Yeah.
Those demons.
And then the other thing that really bothers me, people's got the idea that there's a battle between good and evil.
No.
That there's this, you know, the devil and God's in battle. And
nope.
What we're doing, how ridiculous.
All God would have to do, go, it's gone. They're all gone. Yeah. Yeah. He created evil. That'll blow them away.
Yeah. I created good and evil.
Yep.
Carnal mind just tries to get the focus off of where it's what's really the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Get it out there to something imaginary. And
well, if it's external, you can blame somebody else.
Yeah, and that's what the non-spiritual natural mind wants to do, or everyone, you know, wants to point the finger. That's just, you know, carnal nature.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, verse 14. Because by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified or consecrated, set aside for God. That's first fruit. That's not everybody, but everybody has been put in right standing. Romans tells us that. Can't preach the whole book, so I'm not going to go there. Verse 15. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, because after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, or that day, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, that was said in Jeremiah 31, it's in Hebrews 8 and 10, and it's also right here in Hebrews 10, 16. Now, look what it says. 16. Tell me who's in control of this one. You or God? This is the covenant I will write to them. That's the Holy Spirit speaking. That's what it said. Verse 15 says it's the Holy Spirit. He said, this is the covenant I will make with them. Who made the covenant? After that day, in that day, said the Lord. And who will put the law in their hearts, in their minds?
I will,
and I will is who? The Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I will is the I am.
Yep. And in their minds will I write them. Who's going to do the writing? The Holy Spirit. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Who's forgetting about the sin?
So who God? Did you have to do a sacrifice every year?
There is no sacrifice.
Not only that, then if he's not going to remember them, why would he?
But church folk, he didn't say church folk wouldn't remember them.
No, but he did say right here,
no.
Did wrong.
And you shouldn't either.
Right, but then that also saying, if he's not going to remember, then he's not going to punish you.
No, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. They're just not thinking.
It's contradictory.
So yes, they are.
Saying, Brother Davis, I can just go out there and do anything I want to.
That's not what I said.
Well, you can,
but you'll reap what you sow.
Yeah,
but that's not
true. You can, but.
Paul said everything's lawful, but everything's not profitable. And I guarantee you, you won't like the reward of some of them things.
Everything's lawful, but not everything's convenient.
No. Well, that's the thing where it should say profitable.
Yeah.
If you're truly in his nature, you're not going to do it anyway.
No, you won't even can think of it. See, if God takes, and he says he's going to take and put his mind in you, a new heart, right? And it says in Ezekiel, that's the mind. So if he puts the mind of Christ, would the mind of Christ even think about cheating, stealing, robbing, killing, adultery, fornication, any of these things that they want to talk about?
No.
No. So you can't even do it. It's impossible. So you can't do it. When it's once that old mind's cut off, the new mind's in, it's over. Because a double-minded man's unstable in all of his ways. You think God would let you possess two minds at the same time?
No.
Don't think so. Thank God for that. That's right. Okay, verse 18. He said, now where the remission, okay, of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Now, when you realize that word remission, I can't say the Greek word, aphesis or something like that. It means freedom or forgiveness or pardon. Where I've been pardoned from my sin, when I realize that he pardoned my sin, there can't be any more offerings. I don't have to say I'm sorry. I don't have to beg and say, hey, forgive me, I did it again.
You're free.
I'm free. He did it once for all, once. There's no more sacrifice, no more offerings, nothing. Now all there is obedience or disobedience. Pure and simple. And if you're in disobedience, you will reap what you sow. If God is not mocked, man will reap what he sows. If he sows to the flesh, he reaps corruption. If he sows to the spirit, he reaps the life of the ages. Pure and simple. It's just that simple. But some people like it complicated. Okay, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness or free and, here, this is a good one, free and fearless confidence. Free and fearless confidence. You can say whatever you got to say to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way which he has consecrated or renewed for us through the veil. And he said renewed. Why did he say renewed? We were in that position with God at one time until Adam messed up and that just took us out because we needed to be tested. Now, we needed to be tested not because God wanted to find out who could do what, but you can find out what you are.
Remember.
So you can remember who you really are. That's what you're going through. So why should we complain when situations get us down?
We
should stand up and say, thank you, Father.
Thank you
for the testing. Because he said, he loved me so much, he can't leave me in that state of being. He's going to bring me out of it. And if he's got to correct me, didn't it say he chastises or corrects those he loves? See? So all it is, it's a correction God's given us. We should be very, very thankful for these things instead of complaining and murmuring. And the world complains and murmurs. The church complains and murmurs.
Just turn up the heat to get those draws. It's real down on there, real tough to get.
Yep.
And it's very painful, but once they're gone, they're gone.
Yep. And it says he is consecrated for us through the veil. And that veil there is the veil to the Holy of Holies. That is to say, his flesh. That flesh was rent. When he died on the cross, what happened to the veil in the old temple?
Top to the bottom.
From the mind all the way to the lifestyle, from the brain to the feet. It's split open. It's wide open. That our thinking can now be connected with our Father again, and our lifestyle, we can walk the same life he walked. Didn't he say, follow me? Literally, he was telling you, you have the ability now, after what I've done, to follow after me. You can walk what I have walked. You can live it. It's not anymore something out in the future, up in the sky, but now you can burn shoe leather. You can walk it out. Man, that's powerful. That's powerful to see that that's opened up to us.
Just kick the flesh off.
Just kick it off and go. If his flesh was rent, so was yours. Because it says when in Romans 6, when he died, you died in him. When he was buried, you were buried with him. And when he was resurrected, you were resurrected in him. See? You can walk it out. Your flesh has been rent too. Verse 21. And having an high priest, a great priest over the house of God. A great priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a truthful heart, not a true heart, but a truthful heart, in full assurance or cleansed a truthful heart, cleansed of by faith. No, excuse me, let me back up, say it again. I'm getting two things there. A truthful heart in full assurance, it should say entire confidence of faith. With an entire confidence of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled or cleansed from an evil conscience or moral consciousness, and our bodies cleansed with pure what?
Word.
It says water, but what is the water? The word. So we're cleansed. The only way we're truly going to be cleansed is hear the truth of this word. And sometimes it's not comfortable, is it? Sometimes it takes our thinking process and just shakes it all upside down. Just goes all around because it's not what everybody else is going along with. Well, I'm telling you, we're going against the flow. God is going against the flow of humanity. Humanity's not got the right idea. God has. So it's not an easy walk. Everybody's not going to go on this path right now. I'm going to tell you. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith or hope without wavering, because he is faithful that promised. Do you believe God's going to fulfill what he said? If you do, then what would you ever think about? Why would you ever worry? Pure and simple, you should never have to worry. That's not condemnation. I'm just bringing you to a reality. If I believe God, he said everything's going to be okay, didn't he? We win in the end, right? Well, what difference does it make? So if I'm playing a football game and we're down 25 to nothing and there's only a few minutes left, he said we win. What difference does it make? I'm going to figure out somehow I'm going to win. I don't know how it's going to happen. It can happen. I mean, I've seen... I'm just using it as the same analogy. I've seen 25, 30 points scored in a couple minutes. You know,
onside kick.
There's all kinds of things. There's things that can happen. Fumbles can happen. Pick it up, run it in, boom. In 10 seconds, you got a touchdown. You know, it happens. So don't worry about it. Let God figure out the details. You just keep hold of your faith and do what he said. You can make it. See? You've already made it. You just haven't walked it out yet. And you got to walk it out for the experience. Now, verse 24, is it? And let us consider, or... The word consider literally means to fully observe or to fully understand. Okay? So don't just consider, to think about it a little bit, but fully observe or understand. That means you're going to put some thinking in on it, doesn't it? One another. He said, let us fully understand or observe one another to provoke it to love and good works. We got to understand each other to provoke love out of people. You're going to have to love somebody to make them love you back. They're not going to love you because you go around and kick them in the shins all the time, are they? Right? You're going to have to love people. No matter how they treat you, it should have no bearing upon it. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and much more as you see the day approaching. The assembling. Okay, what's it say? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. The word together isn't there. The assembling of ourselves. Hello? What's it mean?
Body come together.
Okay. Remember in the communion. As often as you do this to what?
Remember.
If you took a body and chopped it in pieces and scattered it, you dismember. So when you remember it, you bring it back together. So when you have this fellowship in communion, what do? You remember the body. You're bringing the body back together. Isn't that what God came here, sent Jesus here for?
Right.
To bring God and man together? Restitution? Okay. Is it any different from what he's saying right here? Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves. That word together takes you off into another realm of church stuff. That word together is not in the writing. So it's assembling of ourselves. I got to get me right before I can help you.
They got that in here. But the assembling of together is the same number in here.
Yeah, I know, but they're not. I know that.
There's only one word there.
Yeah, and the word talks about assembly, not the other word is an added word.
Uh-huh. mean, that's deceptive.
Sure it is deceptive. King James says, we tell you the words we add by making them in italics. Well, guess what? I can show you tens of thousands of words they added in that's not italicized. See? They said, well, it's in there. No, it's in there because you put it there. It's not supposed to be there.
That's when you gotta listen to what it says in your heart.
That's when you listen to the Spirit of God and not to man.
That's what I was doing, bringing that out.
Yeah. That's good. Okay? As you see the day approaching, what day is that? It's the day of the Lord, which is always now. Verse 26, because if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge. Now, this word knowledge is not exactly what we think. It should say the precise and correct knowledge of the truth. And who is the truth?
Christ.
Christ. Jesus said, I am the truth. There remains no more sacrifice for sin. Well, but see, you got to have the precise and correct truth. How many people have it? Very few. It's limited. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignations or antagonism which shall devour or consume the adversaries. Okay? So if you don't have this, and these two verses go together, 26 to 27, if you don't have the precise, correct knowledge of God, what's going to consume you? That fear of judgment. Is it not true? See, the church world today thinks, if I mess up and I didn't get myself right before I walked out of church this morning, I'm going to hell if I get killed in a car wreck. There's a major part of Christianity that believes that. Or if I had a bad thought go in my head because somebody cut me off and I cussed, you know, oh my God, I'm going to hell for sure now. I didn't have time to ask forgiveness for that. That's what they're trained. Well, if you're trained at, you know, if you take a kid, just like these kids over in the Middle East that's been trained to hate Americans, they've been told we are the great Satan. America's the great Satan. That kid's been told that since the day he was born. He's heard that. Do you really think he's going to think anything different?
No.
There's nothing you can do. His brain tells him, we are the great Satan. Right. And he gets rewarded if he kills us.
What does he see?
So what's he going to see? He's going to see this great Satan and every American he can come to and want to kill him. See? He's brainwashed. And that's what the church is doing.
He's doing God a favor.
That's what they think. And that's what the church world is doing. But see, the only thing you're doing in church is you're helping the preacher. Get better, get more money and more notoriety, but that's okay because that's what he's looking for. Okay, where did we leave it? Oh, okay, verse 28. He that despised or violated, really, Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. No mercy under the law. There's no mercy in the church world. You cross them and watch what happens. They'll show you out the front door, slit your throat, and throw you out the back. One way or another, you're gone.
Been there, done that, ain't we?
Yes, we have. Verse 29, of how much worse punishment suppose you shall he be thought worthy? He didn't say he was going to receive it, be thought worthy. The one that has rejected, not trodden underfoot, but rejected the Son of God and has considered the blood of the covenant in which he was sanctified common or profane and has insulted the Spirit of grace. What do you think that person feels like that he's trodden his under and rejected the very blood of the covenant that sanctified the one that's disbelieving it? Doesn't make any difference, does it? Because does my disbelief nullify anything God does?
No.
No. I just think in my head that I'm God. Because I'm overriding what God did. So that makes me God, right? If I can defeat that one, then I'm God, aren't I?
Yep.
Not true, but that's what people think in their head. That's why we have such a struggle. Every human being has this concept in their mind, whether they believe it or not, that we want to be God. We want to be right. We want to be the one on top. Nobody wants to be on the bottom of the rung, do they? Everybody wants to be on top. And that's that nature of Adam in there, that ego of man that wants to fight for the top.
Big time on the throne.
That's it. So it's something else, but everybody's got it, and we all have different degrees of it. You know, it's not all the same, and we got to work through that thing and put that away.
What did you say earlier, Steve, about whenever Steven said he wanted to come to church, and you said you wouldn't go and turn him away from that, because he does know how to do all the evil things without teaching. He doesn't know how to have any, no more things than that.
I mean, they're little heathens. You got people to be
In Deuteronomy 7, verse 1, it says, "When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into a land whither thou goest to possess it," this is the land, "and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you." Okay? And it says, "And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before you," when God delivers them out, it's not up to you, but those are seven different things that's in us when we're conceived. It's speaking of fear, lying spirit, pride, rebellion, low self-esteem, independent, separation spirit, violence, and a religious spirit. And the first one you got to get rid of before you can ever go anywhere is the religious spirit. And I could take you through that. That's in 1 Chronicles 11:4, and said, if you get rid of that Jebusite, you can be chief and captain. And that tells me there's not very many people going to be chief captains. I ain't going to go into all that. That's another whole message. Be here for weeks. Okay. Verse 30. "Because we know the one that has said, vengeance belongs to me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people." Now, where it says vengeance, the word there is not vengeance. We take it that's going to burn them or throw them in jail or kill them or hang them or crucify them, right? But that word is vindicate. "I will vindicate, saith the Lord." When he died at the cross, what was his final words? At first he's not finished, but he said, "Father, forgive them." There's the judgment right there. There's the vindication. My blood vindicated everyone on the face of the earth. See, people see judgment as negative, but it's positive or negative. But vindication is the word. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, and it should say once more, the Lord shall judge to pronounce an opinion concerning right or wrong. He gives his opinion one way or another. It's positive or negative.
Justice.
He give you justice. And you deserve justice and a acquittal in this because of his blood.
Absolutely.
I'm innocent of everything. I'm not guilty of anything because of his blood. And if you can't see that in your mind, that's what the hindrance to you progressing in God is. You keep feeling you're less than what you are. You couldn't believe how many people talk when I've said, I'm a child of God. Jesus is my older brother. I don't worship Jesus. He's my older brother. We're pals. We're buds, you know? And they say, oh, blasphemy, blasphemy. You're crazy. No, 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 no. If you can't see and be equal to him, then Jesus said it wasn't. He didn't think it robbery in Ephesians, was it? To be equal with God. Well, he was his father. My father was no better than me. He was just my father. He was older than me. I don't see him as any better in the natural. My brothers, I got older brothers. They're no better than me. They're just older. You see what I mean? You got to be able to see yourself. This is you. This book is you. This is the book of Steve. This is the book of Lloyd. You know, come on. This is you guys. If you don't understand this is you, then what are we doing? What's the purpose of this book if it's not to make you, Lisa, a better person? Is there any purpose for it? See, we're back under the law if we don't do that. This book is to keep you in line. No, it's not. It's to remind you that you are a child of God, that you're not guilty of anything, that everything you did was there for a purpose to bring you to maturity and remembering of who you were when you were with God before the foundation of the world. That's what this is about. And then people say, you're crazy. Well, call me crazy. I don't care. They call my big brother Jesus crazy, so I'm in good company.
They call you crazy, but don't call me late for supper.
That's right. Don't call me late for supper. Okay. Verse 31, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It would be pretty spooky if you were thinking like them people that think they're going to hell. I guess you would be pretty scary. But see, I'm not afraid to see meet my Father, because I know what my Father is. He's love. Yeah? He's love. So why would I be afraid of the very ultimate love in the world or in the universe? What's the purpose of being afraid? Only the ones who have the condemnation and guilt on them, and that's the church world, they're the only ones that has fear of meeting God. You go today and bring 99.9% of the preachers on the world today and say, you're going to meet God today. They're scared to death because they have guilt and stuff like that in their lives. They're not sure about anything. There's not very many of them that want the truth. Yeah. Yep. Know how many times they hustled and lied people all through life, and they're expecting that fearful judgment thing we just talked about. They looking for that bad stuff coming on them.
Everyone wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go today.
That's right.
Yep. Yeah. Let me get the back of the bus. I don't want to get off of this. Stop.
Can I get on the next bus?
Yep. Okay, verse 32. But call to remembrance, or literally, remember the former days in which you were enlightened. He's saying, remember when you just started, before you got started to be enlightened, how much trouble was you in?
None.
And as soon as you get ready to get started, you endured or struggled a great fight of affliction, or a great struggle of affliction. You endured, and that endured thing literally means you endured bravely and calmly. See, showing you the confidence as you grow in God, that when you go through these struggles, you do it how? Bravely and calmly. That's what the Greek language says, bravely and calmly. When Jesus went to the cross, did he go screaming and flailing or anything? He went like a mute lamb. He just went and did what his Father's will was. He came to die for humanity, and he did. He did it bravely and calmly. When they beat him, he wasn't begging them to stop.
If you see most things that's being birthed, they're not fighting and struggling.
No.
They look like they're dead when they're being born.
Well, if you take it, really, you take when a child is being born, the mother's in a struggle, but the baby is too. The baby don't want to give up that comfortable spot. He's comfortable.
But when they're
warm, being fed, he don't have to worry about nothing. But when you dump him out in this world, now it starts, don't it? Now the struggles start.
Born, they almost look like they're dead. Yep. In a state of...
Yep. Because they're shocked coming into this world. I won't go there. I'm going to leave that alone. Verse 33, part of this affliction you go through while you were being made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and that's a lot of pressure, it's the word philipsis, a lot of pressures, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. So when you hang out with the ones, you can be guilty by association, positive or negative.
The American Standard said a public spectacle.
Yep. Well, you're a public spectacle when you hang out with the wrong ones. They think you're crazy. I've had people tell me that people said, you hang around Dave Fields and you'll be sending your soul to hell. Well, that's what they say. I don't care. You can believe anything you want to. If anybody believes I can send them to hell, then they've made me a god.
And their sacrifice hasn't been
enough. I'm also a magician because I can send you someplace that don't exist. Well, they give me a lot of power. I know that. That's crazy, but that's what they think.
We should run
the
bigger
chat. Huh? Do what?
So you got all that power, we should run the bigger
chat. There you go. Man. Okay. Verse 34. Because you had compassion of me, Paul says, in my bonds or in my captivity, and you it not took, but you endured joyfully the spoiling of your property and possessions, knowing in yourselves that you have in the realm of the spirit better and enduring, a better and enduring wealth. So you know, you're not concerned about what they're going to do to you because you're hanging out with the right kind of people, because they can't touch you. That, what was that one guy that sang something, "You can't touch this"? MC Hammer. Yeah, can't touch this. Yeah, I say, you can't touch me. Jesus said, how many times did he say, "It's not yet my time"? And walked right through a crowd of people. They were trying to kill him and looking for him. He was standing right there in front of them and they couldn't see him. I wonder how that happened.
Invisible man.
Yeah. Verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence. And that word of confidence here is literally a boldness of speech. Don't let no one intimidate you that you can't say what you need to say.
Increase your boldness.
That's what the disciples prayed, wasn't it? Lord, increase our boldness. He said, but don't cast away your boldness of speech, which has great recompense of reward. That's not talking about being an arrogant rear end with somebody. That's talking about being a confident, bold speaker in what you know. Don't tell people it's what you think or what you believe. Tell them what you know. Okay? And the way you know that is have some fellowship time with the Father. You'll know it. And you won't have any problem saying it, no matter what anybody thinks about it. He'll take care of it. Verse 36. Because you have need of endurance, not the word patience, really should be endurance, that after you have done the will of God, you cross out that word might there in that last little bit where it says you might receive the promise. Cross out the word might and it says this way. After you have done the will of God, you receive the promise. Now, let me say it another way, because this is the Greek says it a little differently than recover or receive. It should say you receive back or you recover the promise. The promise has always been, is it not?
Yeah.
We've always had the promise before the foundation, but we would need to receive it back. Kind of like the remember thing. We got to remember what God wrote in our heart. This is a promise to you and I, and we got to recover it back. So we got to have what? Patience and endurance. Endurance is the same thing. You got to have patience if you're going to endure something. So they kind of tied together. And we're not going to get there falling apart under pressure. I mean, that's not the way we get there. We got to have patient endurance. And 37 says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come or appear will arrive and will not linger or delay. So he's coming, but you know what? He's not coming at the time you expect. He's coming at his schedule. 38 goes on to say, now the just or the innocent shall live from out of, not by, but from out of faith. But if any man draw back or from timidity, hesitate to say what he believes. That's what the language says. When it says draw back, it says from timidity, hesitates to say what they believe. Doesn't that kind of go with about this up here, about your boldness of speech? Don't give it up because it's got a great reward. He says down here, but if any man draws back because of that, my soul, or my spirit, it should say, my spirit shall have no pleasure in him. Now, when it says the just shall live by from out of faith, what are they saying?
Faith.
Habakkuk 2:4.
Mm-hmm. He gave us measure
of faith. No, it says the just shall live by his faith. And that word his is there. It's not an added word. They left it out there. See, it's not about my faith. It's not about your faith. It's about the faith of God. And God's faith doesn't lack anything. And when you understand that you are a derivative of God, you can now possess what you've already had, but now you can bring it to the forefront and work with what he's already gave you. God ain't passing out new things, new gifts today. You've already got it. If you have Christ in you, what are you lacking?
Nothing.
See? It's just that simple. If you understand who you are, you'll be who you are. Do you think you have to go out there and tell a dog to bark? Do you have to teach a cat how to climb a tree and how to meow? I don't think so. You don't have to teach the birds how to fly. When they get a certain age, they just start flapping their wings and take off. And you won't have to teach a son of God how to love people either. You know why? Because it's their nature. It's not their second nature, it's their only nature. If God is love, what kind of sons do you think He's going to produce?
Loving sons.
Pure and simple. Pure and simple. His children, male or female, will be lovers. I'm not talking about the physical thing. I'm talking about the spiritually. They're going to be spiritually loving people. Verse 39. He says, but we are not... The word of right there shouldn't be there. We are not them who draw... Or it should be timid. We are not of them who are timid into destruction, but them that believe to the preservation of the spirit. Not soul, spirit. Now that word soul right there is what they... The Greek language is the word psuche. And it's really the context of the way the word is used, how it would be, whether it be spirit or soul. But soul is a mixture, isn't it? Spirit is pure. And that's what we're talking about. The word psuche and the word pneuma, which they say is spirit, and psuche, soul. If you go look to this word soul, psuche, guess what you'll find out? It says spirit, right the first of it. Spirit. It says spirit first of all. Spirit. So why would it be soul? But see, the church world is trying to teach us that's what this means. This means what God said, not what the church says. And God's talking about spiritual things here, not mixture things. And see, no matter how much I was mixed when I was created, the Word of God, Hebrews 4 and 12, sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing asunder and separating the soul from the spirit. The soulish from the spiritual. So the Word is going to separate that, get me back to where I belong. I don't need... Remember it said there's two men in the earth, one will be taken, one will be left? Hey, that natural man's gone away. The spiritual man's all that's going to be left. So I don't need to be that soul. Yeah. There's a purpose for the soul. She's getting me through this life. Part of the training process. She's a gift for a season.